We're now very pleased to be joined by Matt Hogan, Global Head of Research at Bitwise. If you follow the ETF space at all, you're likely already familiar with Matt. So he was previously CEO of Inside ETFs. They focus on ETF education. They put on the preeminent ETF conferences. And Matt is still chairman of that organization. Matt was also CEO of ETF.com, who, of course, joins us on the show every week. They're the world's leading independent authority on ETFs. Matt also co-authored the CFA Institute's book on ETFs. And he's been involved in ETFs from the earliest days. But back in February, Matt pivoted into the world of cryptos when he joined Bitwise. So we're very excited to talk both ETFs and cryptos today. Matt is joining us via phone from San Francisco. Matt, great having you back on the program, sort of now reincarnated in the crypto universe.
That's right. That's right. I'm really pleased to be here and excited to be involved in crypto.
So, Matt, why did you make the jump into cryptos earlier this year? What was the thought process after spending so much time in the ETF space?
Yeah, you know, I got involved in the ETF space because I thought it was a disruptive financial technology that had the potential to improve the financial ecosystem, but where people didn't really understand them. And I spent 10 years helping to educate people on why ETFs were important and what they could do for client portfolios. I looked around and crypto, I think, and thought at the time, still believe, is the next major disruptive element in the financial services space. It is also true that people don't understand them, that the quality of information is poor, and that a lot of people dismiss them the same way they dismissed ETFs as weapons of mass destruction 10 years ago. And I wanted to play a role in helping people better understand what cryptos are, how they can improve the financial system, and how they can improve investor portfolios.
Matt, something that has struck me, and I actually think this has gotten lost a bit by the crypto naysayers, when I think of the smartest people I've personally visited with over the past 2 years, they're all involved in cryptos. And if you just look at the talent moving into cryptos, especially from traditional Wall Street, it really is staggering. And I think you could probably say the same for the types of companies getting involved, right? Fidelity and Goldman and others. Now, I know smart people being involved in something doesn't guarantee success, but shouldn't that at least give the naysayer some pause? I mean, smart people don't tend to go into something that's a complete sham or has no prospects.
I think you're exactly right. I think it at least should tell people who dismiss crypto out of hand that they should spend a little bit of time listening to shows like this and getting to know what's going on there. It's absolutely true. We've seen an amazing run of people into the space. We've seen leading endowments like Yale, Harvard, and MIT making direct allocations into the crypto market. We see NYSE, Fidelity, Nomura, Goldman Sachs, all the major financial firms investing heavily in this space. So yes, you shouldn't dismiss it out of hand. You should spend some time getting to know what people are excited about and then make your own decision.
Now, I guess playing the other side here, I do think one of the reasons there are so many smart people involved in crypto is because the underlying technology can get pretty complicated when you talk about things like cryptography and distributed ledgers and the such. Do you think that's a problem at all? You know, we talk to investors every day, and I've got to tell you, most can't really articulate what Bitcoin is or what blockchain is. Is it possible this stuff is too complicated?
I think people make it too complicated. Just like, you know, to go back to my ETF days, we would spend a lot of time talking about creation and redemption. Most investors didn't care. They just wanted low-cost, tradable exposure to different asset classes. So I think people do get it way too complicated. There are too many acronyms. The easy way to think about crypto is it's just money over the internet. We've never had a way to send money or objects of value over the internet, and the crypto software breakthrough is what allowed that. The same way that VoIP allows us to send voice over the internet and SMTP allows us to send email over the internet, crypto is just the first way we've had to send money and value over the internet, and that's going to open up a huge number of efficiencies and a huge number of applications that we're going to start to feel in our day-to-day lives in the coming years.
So Matt, do you view crypto more as a means of transacting, or do you see it as a potential store of value, smart contracting, all of the above? How do you view it?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. There are you named the three major use cases that I think are important. I think crypto is the first digital store of value, and I think there are a large number of people, particularly younger people, who think that that a digital store of value will be important. I think it is a means of transaction. I think you're going to see that forced at the corporate level as opposed to at the individual level. And I think smart contracting is going to start replacing things like escrow and other simple financial technologies really, really soon. So you nailed the three use cases. It'd be easier if there were just one, but there are three.
Now, I can hear the naysayers out there when we talk about a store of value. And we talked about this a little bit on our show last week. Can something that's gone down as much as, say, Bitcoin be a store of value?
Absolutely. You have to consider it this way. You can't have a new non-sovereign store of value pop into the world at a steady state and be worth, say, $100,000. What you would expect when it first arrived is for it to be not worth very much and hugely volatile. You'd expect the price to appreciate over time and the volatility to come down. That's exactly what we've seen in crypto. Actually, if you look back at gold is the gold standard, obviously, for what a store of value is. When the U.S. went off the gold standard in the early 70s, gold volatility was enormous. It had years when it went up 110%, it had years when it fell 35, 40%. People forget that because it's now entered this steady state pace. I think people are expecting too much if they think a store of value will just pop into existence and be stable. Bitcoin's volatility is down substantially from 5 years ago. That's going to continue to fall. And I bet in 5 or 10 years, we'll all think Bitcoin's a little boring.
Our guest is Matt Hogan, Global Head of Research at Bitwise. Matt, let's talk Bitwise. And first, Bitwise offers the Hold 10 Private Index Fund. This is for accredited investors. Tell us a little bit about both Bitwise and this index fund.
Sure. Bitwise is the leading specialist crypto asset manager. We launched the world's first cryptocurrency index fund. I think a mistake a lot of investors make in crypto is that they know Bitcoin and they think it's all Bitcoin and that's it. This is an early stage technology. That would be like investing in the internet in the late 90s and only buying AOL. You got the bet right that the internet was important, but you bet on the wrong horse. So our view is it's too early to know which of these different crypto assets is going to be the most successful. Why not just own a market cap weighted basket of them the same way you'd own like the S&P 500? So we launched the first crypto index fund. It's the largest of this kind. We're excited to offer it to accredited investors, and we continue to roll out additional products. We just launched individual asset funds covering Bitcoin and Ethereum, and you can expect us to sort of strive to fill the role that BlackRock fills in the equity and bond space, except in the crypto market.
All right, so let's get to what I know everyone wants to talk about, the ETF filing, and I know you can't get into specifics, but first, just high level, is this essentially the same thing as the Hold Private Index Fund, just in an ETF wrapper?
Yeah, we filed for the same thing as the standalone fund. It's a diversified basket of crypto assets.
Can you tell us anything about where this stands with the SEC?
Sure. So we haven't filed our 19b-4, which is the filing you have to make to get trading approval. I expect we'll do that soon. I think the SEC has asked very good questions about the crypto market. They're rightly concerned about the quality of exchanges and the quality of data that is out there. This is a new, very lightly regulated market, and I think they're being cautious and appropriate. The thing that people miss when they dismiss the idea that either our ETF or another firm's ETF will be approved next year is just how fast crypto is evolving. You know, if you back up 12 months, there was really no institutional custody. There were no institutional market makers. There were no traded futures. Now, firms like Fidelity are hiring hundreds of people to launch institutional asset class. NYSE is launching a futures exchange. Crypto moves on a different time frame. So I think the SEC has been right in 2018 to pump the brakes, but I think 2019 could be a very different story just because how fast this ecosystem is evolving.
Yeah, it seems like the SEC's biggest concerns are with the potential for fraud and manipulation in the underlying spot markets and the custody, as you touched on. Do you see those concerns being alleviated in 2019?
Yeah, you know, I don't think custody is that much of a concern. I think that's just it actually works fine just now, and there's some really big players like Fidelity coming into the space. So I think you can safely write that off your concern list. I think the concern about market manipulation and exchange quality is very real. I would say a high number of the existing crypto exchanges have suspect data. all that said, there are a significant number of crypto exchanges that are run in accordance with standards that you and I would feel comfortable with. So I think that is the one that is going to be the last hurdle to be overcome. All the others are sort of technical and a matter of time. And we're working with the SEC to help them understand the crypto exchange ecosystem. And I think we will get there sooner rather than later.
Matt, what about the fact that we have three times leverage natural gas ETPs? We had an inverse VIX ETP, which blew up in February. There was actually an ETF that launched earlier this year, which holds freight futures. Mm-hmm. And I guess I just find it hard to reconcile that we have those and not Bitcoin ETPs, especially given that we now have a fully functioning Bitcoin futures market. Do you agree with that at all?
Yeah, I think a lot of people agree with that concern. And the freight futures one is a great example. Those are OTC traded futures. You know, I think you have to concatenate the SEC's concerns with the quality of the crypto exchange market with the volatility of the asset class. And again, I think they're being cautious. You know, it is true that retail investors can buy crypto today. The unfortunate thing is that they're buying it through brokerages that are charging high spreads and giving them poor execution. So I think it would be favorable for investors if they could buy it in a well-regulated fund product. But they are asking very good questions. The crypto exchange ecosystem is imperfect. And you know, the ideal outcome would be that the exchange ecosystem cleans up its act and simultaneously the SEC lets an ETF launch. And I hope that's what happens.
Matt, it's Connor Kelly. Speaking about the custody issues and you know, suspect players in that world, until there is an ETF that the average consumer can just buy, right, and get professional execution by, you know, your back office team, for instance, would you recommend a custodian? I'm sure you have friends that are asking, well, where should I buy or where should I get my hands on some of this crypto? What do you even tell them right now?
Yeah, let me use some magic words that you should use if you're a retail investor looking to access this through an exchange, and there are exchanges that do this. You want an exchange that holds your assets in 100% cold storage. You want them to have insurance at least on any assets that are held in hot wallets connected to the internet, and possibly on the whole KitKat caboodle. And you want it to be with a company like Coinbase or Circle that is pro-regulatory, that is working with regulators to bring crypto into the light. So 100% cold storage, at least insurance on the hot wallet, if not on the whole thing. And then you can get some confidence that you're doing it appropriately. And different exchanges and wallets operate on different parts of that spectrum. But you should be willing to pay a little bit more to have confidence that your assets are safe.
Just wondering, Matt, Coinbase is obviously the largest and most well-known. Does it check those boxes for you?
Yeah, absolutely. Coinbase is an extremely well-run company, and they do check their boxes there. I think for retail investors, that is one of a handful of good choices.
Again, our guest is Matt Hogan, Global Head of Research at Bitwise. Matt, with the remaining time we have here, I do want to talk a little bit about the potential investment case for cryptos. And first, we're certainly not into making market calls or any type of predictions on this show. But I would like to hear your take on what we've seen from Bitcoin and cryptos this past year. You have Bitcoin down some 80%. There are plenty of other cryptos down more than that. Weren't all the people screaming bubble back in December of 2017 right, at least in the short term?
At least in the short term, they absolutely were right. Look, Bitcoin ran up from 200 to 20,000 from late 2015 to the end of 2017. That's a 100x return, 10,000%. It's not maybe altogether surprising that it pulled back 80% from there. It's still up 5x over the past 2 years and 10x over the past three. What I like to do is abstract that price move from the developments in the ecosystem, right? The launch of futures, the solutions to custody, the dramatic improvement in trading and liquidity that institutional investors can access, the entry of firms like of companies or endowments like Harvard and Yale and MIT. There's been a lot of good developments, and the price pulled back in part because as those people were right, it overshot on the upside. I think as you look at 2019, the question is where it goes from here. We're very excited about the entry of Fidelity into this market. We think that's going to unlock a whole wave of institutional investors. We're very excited about the launch of the backed product. We're excited about a number of other things. So, yes, it was a terrible bull market. It's been painful to experience, but there's been a lot of good underlying developments, and it'll be interesting to see what 2019 looks like.
Matt, it's Connor again. One thing that was interesting during this bear market is Bitcoin has actually substantially increased its market cap, I guess, or market share of the whole crypto universe, right? Because a lot of these other coins out there, other cryptos out there, probably rightfully so, have lost almost all of their market share. Do you feel comfortable enough thinking that Bitcoin has established itself as the primary crypto for at least store value? Obviously, we talked about these other use cases, or do you still think there's a real possibility that something that maybe isn't even in existence yet could replace Bitcoin as that store of value digital currency?
I think as a store of value, there is a high probability that Bitcoin will be the primary winner as a store of value. I think some of the privacy coins could tap into the offshore market and be attractive in those areas. But, you know, there is this thing called the Lindy effect, which is effectively the longer something is around, the more likely it's going to stay around. And I think Bitcoin clips that box. It is unusual for a financial asset to go down 80% and then rebound. But Bitcoin's actually done that four or five times over the course of its history. So I do think there's a high probability that Bitcoin is the winner in the store of value market. It's not 100% certainty, but I think it's a high probability. It's what that blockchain is optimized for, and there are a large number of people who believe in it and using it. So I think you're probably right there.
Well, and Matt, I saw something in, I think it was a Bitwise research piece that I loved, that you should think of cryptos as early stage venture capital, but with intraday liquidity. And there was a point made that, you know, look, Airbnb was banned in San Francisco back in the day. If it had been publicly trading at the time, it might have been down, you know, 50, 60, 80, 90%. So I thought that was a good way to think about it. So look, boiling this down, what do you see as the potential investment case for owning cryptos as part of a diversified portfolio?
Yeah, absolutely. So what our investors are doing is they're making a small focused allocation to crypto, between 1% and 5% of their portfolio. Any more than that, you're adding really substantial risk. The key thing to being a successful crypto investor is that you have to have a long-term view. Like any early-stage venture investment, this is a thesis that's going to play out over 3 to 10 years, not 3 to 10 months. So have a long-term view. The unique other thing about crypto is you can rebalance. So have a targeted allocation. If it gets out of line, if Bitcoin runs up, you should sell and rebalance down. If you're in markets like this where it's dropped 80%, now is the time to buy back in. I'll make one unusual note about our fund, which most people don't know. The market's obviously been down substantially. Only 4% of our investors have redeemed. 20% have made additional investments. So that's the kind of investment you need to make. It needs to be for the long haul. You need to be willing to buy when the market is down and to take gains if the market is up. And I think there's value if you do that.
Well, Matt, really enjoyed the conversation today. I do hope we can talk about an approved crypto index ETF at some point in 2019. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, me too. Thanks for having me on. This was a lot of fun.
That was Matt Hogan, Global Head of Research at Bitwise. And you can learn more about their funds by visiting bitwiseinvestments.com. And I should mention, they also have a wealth of other research and information at that website as well.